Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So this morning's talk, you're really going to need to stay awake. It comes from Diagrams for Living, the Bible Unveiled by Emmett Fox, Your Invisible Power by Genevieve Benrin, Science of Being by Evgeny Fersen, and the Dorian Lectures on Mental Science by Thomas Troward. And my brother called me the other day and just was describing some more good fortune that had come to him, and he was asking me, you know, says, how is this happening? And so I began to explain to him from some of these concepts I was reading, and you know, right away he said, well, can you send me those titles? And I did, and I put next to them in big red bold warning. Fortunately, I read all my books on the Kindle, and what I really found myself doing with some of these, especially the Dorian Lectures, is I have to highlight them, and then in the Kindle, you can click on it, and it'll read it back to you.
It'll verbally.
Yeah. So I have to read it and then see it read back to me so I can try to understand what it's saying. And Thomas Troward, if you read any of his works, is so dense. I say, how does a person, where does the mind come from that writes like that at that level? But anyway, I'm going to try to intertwine some of these ideas into concepts that you already know. All right. So, you know, we journeyed through quite a few lessons, all designed to help guide us to the place within where we are receptive to living our lives in closer relationship to the creative source of life. All right. Now, that idea of the creative source of life is very important for you to grasp the concepts, because, you know, we all say God, but that word God is the name for that which cannot be named. So we keep coming up with different concepts to try to describe this idea called God in a way that we might be able to grasp, you know, even more. So think about this as a creative source of life. So we call that creative source, which is the aspect of God in us, the Christ being our divine nature, that which is the natural truth of our being. So the aspect of God that is in you and me is the Christ. That Christ is the bucket of the ocean that exists within me. Does that make sense? Okay. So the Christ is the true light that guides our every action when we allow it. Okay, that's the important part of that. All right. So our spiritual quest is to find and return to that place within us that knows and is receptive to that truth. That place within that knows that we are divine and therefore capable of living lives, our lives in closer relationship with our indwelling Christ. So all of these different authors that I just described, they're all alluding to the fact that it's almost like seek ye first the kingdom and all these things you want will come unto you. So it's saying that we got to get into the understanding that what we need to get back to is the source of our being. And I'll describe it more in here, but get back to the source. We're not right now not connected to the source. We're connected to the effect. You get it? So we need to understand, how do I get back to the source from which everything comes? So the question we each must explore has to do with our individual receptivity to the reality that we are divine and therefore capable of living our lives in closer relationship to our indwelling Christ. Right? Now, I know that we're capable of understanding that intellectually. You know, we can toss around that idea intellectually. We can have discussions about it. And maybe emotionally, we would like to think that we really are receptive to living closer to our indwelling Christ, that inner light within us. But each of us must ask ourselves, am I really ready to take the plunge to fully live my life in continuous awareness of the divine that is within me? Am I really ready to make that jump? Okay. So if we go to St. Francis, this is what he says about it. I might have read this to you before, I don't remember. He says, most of us are still standing at a distance, looking at the ocean, trying to imagine and wondering what it would be like to dive into the ocean and let it embrace us. Okay? And he says, such a thought will never reveal the experience that you seek. The only way to have the experience is to run towards the ocean, strip down naked, and throw yourself into it. Then you will know how it feels to swim in the ocean. Not just your imagination, but your whole being. And he says, the actual experience transcends the thought of the experience. All right? And I think right now, most of us are in the thought of the experience, okay, as opposed to actually plunging ourselves into it. So St. Francis goes on to say, likewise, God is not a thought. God is an experience that transcends thought. The only way to truly experience God, you must be willing to take the plunge. Okay, and you know, you might be saying, so, okay, well, how do I take that plunge? How do I fully immerse myself in God? Well, to repeat what St. Francis said, you must be willing to strip naked before you take the plunge. Now, what it means by stripping naked is you must eliminate from your thought process all your opinions, your fears, your beliefs, your neediness, your unforgiveness that prevents you from immersing yourself in God. All right? So think about how often we try to jump into the ocean of God fully clothed, meaning trying to pray while still clothed in the fear and the anger and the resentment and the disappointment and the unloving, unforgiving thoughts that veil or cut our mind off from the truth that we're seeking to be revealed to us. All right? And think about it. So when we pray, usually we're praying, asking God to fix something, which means that is very much in our head that there's something wrong that we need God to fix. And God is only saying, I can't fix that. I can only fix you. Okay? So our spiritual goal is to get to a state of mind that is able to see things and events and circumstances and people through eyes that see past the facts and into the truth. Did everybody catch that? Okay. So now, this again is a further investigation into the meaning of what Jesus said of, you know, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the consciousness of it. Okay? In essence, we want to learn how to develop this mental, emotional strength to stay spiritually lifted above what is occurring in our lives. Okay? So it's not a matter of trying to change what's occurring, but to keep ourselves lifted so we don't get caught up in what is going on. So by remaining in a lifted state of consciousness, you'll be able to provide the prayerful input that will pull people and circumstances, events to a higher level instead of you being pulled down to their lower level. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday if you were at Sharon's event, you know, where we were talking about that we are the ones that are to go into the world and lift the consciousness of people who are around us. And not by what we say, but by the very essence of our being. You know, that energy within you shines at such a high level that when you step into that place, people become calm because you're there. All right? So, and so often we believe, you know, what we believe about ourselves shapes the people and circumstances in our lives. Okay? Your prosperity, your joy, your health, your loving relationships, or whatever is important to you is dependent on what you believe is true about yourself. And what you believe to be true about yourself and your life is actually, it stirs the creative forces in the universe and it produces more of that in your life. So whatever you're believing about yourself, remember I said stay connected to the creative source. That creative source reacts to what is going on in your mind and emotions. And it keeps creating more of that. Okay? So to explain this even further, and this is where I need you to stay with me. In Revelations 22:13, we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So another way of explaining Alpha and Omega is it represents the thought and the thing. The beginning and the end, all right? Meaning what you are busy thinking and adding feeling and emotion to will eventually manifest in your life. Alpha is the thinking, and Omega is the thing, the result or the manifestation. You with? Okay, so, and the Omega thing will manifest according to the varying levels of causation that you go through. So the Alpha is, this is what I want in my life, but then levels of causation come up, and according to how you react to those levels of causation will determine the Omega, the result. Is that? Okay, all right. Now, if that wasn't enough, challenging enough, here's another little tidbit to chew on. The Omega exists in the Alpha, meaning whatever you are busy thinking about already has embedded within it the thought, the very thing that has the potential to produce. So when you say, this is what I want, that's the Alpha. Well, the Omega is already embedded in that, the idea. You said, I want this. Right? The problem is we didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? We're going, well, I hope this happens. You know, but God said, no, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the creative force. I am the thing that you say that you want, and I am the experience of that in your life. But you, as you go through causation, what we call second force, all right, as you go through second force, you have to hold on to the faith that you are going to get to that thing that you want. Is that okay? So, you know, this whole process we're going through is really understanding that I am the beginning of everything that happens. I'm the beginning of everything that happens. And the creative force that God is purely just moving through that activity that I am. So when I say I want a closer relationship with God, the closer relationship we seek, which is the thing or Alpha, already exists in the desire, which is the Alpha. I am saying I want a closer relationship with God. Well, it already exists, okay? So if we go to Rabbi Lawrence Kushner's book, God Was in This Place and I Did Not Even Know It, he tells a story, and I think I've shared this with you before, a Zen monk who, after years of study, formulated what he thought was the ultimate question, who am I? Only to be surprised when he heard a voice within his own head say, who is asking? Okay. And in Kushner's words, he says, you are looking for the one who is looking for you. Right? Which is another way of saying the Alpha already exists in the Omega already exists in the Alpha. Right? Now, just realize here that we're using symbolic language to try to develop spiritual understanding, because we know it's ridiculous to think about God looking for us, okay? But if you remember the allegory where Adam and Eve, they're at a point where they had to hide themselves from God because they had done something that shifted them from their original consciousness, okay? So in Genesis 3:9, we read, the Lord called Adam saying, where are you? So in this point, God is looking for Adam, okay? Well, a symbolism of God looking for Adam and Eve represents the idea that they were not where they were supposed to be. Okay? Because God doesn't look for us out here in the physical. God is looking for that aspect of God that is within us, okay? And we are supposed to be functioning from that consciousness, so that when God speaks, we hear it, because we are where we're supposed to be, all right? So, and again, so this is not physically, you know, not where we're supposed to be, but it's in consciousness. It is the same as, you know, with you and me, we have to find, always check ourselves to see if we're in the right spot, if we're in the right space, okay? So we're looking for and having a hard time finding God because we're not where we're supposed to be in consciousness, so we're looking amiss. As Eric Butterworth would say, amiss meaning not quite right or out of place. So as the story in Genesis is explaining, God is looking for us because we're not where we're supposed to be. We're mentally and emotionally out of place. That's powerful, all right? And so what it does, it puts you into a situation where everything that's going on within you, you're constantly evaluating it to see, am I in the right place here? And I will share with you that as you are doing that, what will happen, you will have tendencies to shift into that right place and then shift back out. All right? Because you're working at it, you will have a tendency to all of a sudden discover there it is. But because you're not used to being there, you will shift back out. All right? So the key is, if you do that often enough, you will eventually be able to find your way back. Because you'll say, I was there, but I don't know how I got there. So you have to keep working at it until you learn how to go there on purpose. All right? So the true quest of every prayer, no matter what you are asking for, is to listen for and follow the voice of Spirit calling you back to the place and consciousness in which the trouble that you are struggling with does not exist. See, so God is not going to solve the problem. God is going to pull you back to the place in consciousness where that problem doesn't exist. Okay? You got to understand, we live in a multiverse, not a universe. Okay? And so what's happening is that we put ourselves in universes that we're struggling with stuff. And God is saying, that's not the place you're supposed to be. I've given you the place to be. And if you can pull yourself back to that, that thing may be still going on, but it will not come unto you. Okay? So, you know, so it is a place where you remember who you are. It's a place in consciousness where you are lifted up above material and emotional challenges in your life, allowing you to lift your whole life to a higher place instead of you being pulled down and held in a lower place. So whenever we're struggling and we're in fear about anything, it's because we're operating at this lower place. And at least if you can go, but I don't know how to get to that higher place, but I am aware that I'm in a lower place. Yeah. All right? Because that's what's happening. Most of us don't, we're not conscious. So the first level of consciousness, it's like when you're dreaming and you go, oh yeah, this is a dream. And then you wake up, right? Yeah. You know, but you can be in the dream and go, man, what is all this going on and blah, blah, blah. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, you wake up and go, man, I'm glad that was a dream. Yes. All right? But in the dream, you don't know it. So the key here is to realize that you're in a dream. You're in a lower place right now, and you're trying to get yourself to a higher place. So remember that Adam and Eve were naked, meaning originally they existed in God awareness only, a place where you are not clothed in fear and false pretenses. But when they shifted from their original divine consciousness to a fearful consciousness, they were ashamed and afraid and tried to hide and cover themselves with false pretenses. And that's what we're all doing. You know, we cover ourselves in false pretenses. So then, you know, they no longer were comfortable being open, receptive, vulnerable, because they were not in their original right spiritual place, which helps us to understand why they do not feel completely secure, or why we don't feel completely secure. We're afraid of something all of the time. We are afraid of something all of the time. And it's because we are uncomfortable being naked, unfettered, open, and receptive to God. So we left that divine place within and clothed ourselves in false pretenses that we call our ego. Okay? And again, you know, these discussions, I'm not talking to you like I'm not there too. You know what I'm saying? All right? You know, it's recognizing where I am that helps me to teach this. Does that make sense? Okay? And experimenting with it enough to have those glimpses. That's those slight glimpses into, and even this week when I was playing with the idea, and all of a sudden I would be like, that's it. And then that wasn't it. It was gone. I mean, that was it, but I couldn't hold on to it. You know? So, I mean, I do know it works when you really work it, but you really have to work it with everything. And use your imagination to see yourself being there and what that would be like to have no confrontation, fear, anger, anything, and just use your imagination, just be there. And you might be able to hold yourself there for a moment, but at least for that moment, you know what it would look like if you were there. Is that what I mean? Yeah. So it's the power of imagination that gives you the opportunity to try to practice what it would be like to, you know, to be there. You know, so, you know, it's written in Psalms 82:5. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. That's us. Okay? All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, you know, it's further reference to this is that the fact that we're not where we're supposed to be. Our foundation is off. We live our lives standing on the foundation of our ego mind instead of where we're supposed to be, standing on the foundation of our Christ mind. And we are standing on the foundation of our ego mind. Think about it. We stand on that. This is who I am. And we stand on that no matter what. Okay? And if we do it because we feel more protected when we're operating from that dynamic. To just be? I don't think so. All right? In some environments, maybe we can do it. But in other environments, that defense mechanism would kick right back in. Okay. You know, I was thinking yesterday, too, when I was giving my talk, one point I missed was, and I was going to refer to Brenda when I was talking to you about, you know, when we're watching these actresses and actors, they're in those roles. They are in those roles. And Brenda explained, she said, they're not acting. They have taken on the dynamic of that thing that they're doing, you know. And so that's the thing with us. You know, we have to take on the dynamic of being this spiritual being, this being who completely relies on spirit to guide us through our lives. And that's a process that takes work, all right? I think his name is Gershom Scholem, the master historian and Jewish mystic, said that the ultimate question one can ask when standing on the outer edge of human awareness is not what is the meaning of life or even why am I here, but rather the question is simply who? Who is responsible for bringing peace and harmony into my life? Who is responsible for bringing love into my life? Who is responsible for demonstrating wisdom and strength and courage in the face of adversity? That who is not God. That who is you and me. All right? We are the individual expressions of the God idea, and we will know that when we come back to our right place in consciousness. You've heard it said so many times that God can only do for you what you allow God to do through you. But there's an esoteric maxim that states, nature unaided fails. Okay? Maxim meaning an expression or a general truth or principle. This makes the idea that God can only do for you what God, you can allow God to do through you. It takes it to a whole nother level. Because you begin to realize, because a lot of times we're saying, God, please do this. And God is saying, well, are you ready? Because I can only do it through you. Are you ready to let it happen through you? Because let me tell you, as it's moving through you, you are not going to be the same person you were once I move through you. And lots of we're going like, well, I don't know if I'm ready to give up being me yet. You know, I want to hold on to whatever I'm, the anger or the upset or poor little old me or whatever it is I'm dealing with. But God said, no, we can't do both. It's got to be one or the other. If you're not going to aid me in this process, and the only aid that we have to give is willingness and allowing the process to happen. Now, I usually bracket and put a star next to a paragraph that I really want to emphasize. Well, this paragraph has got three stars next to it. So listen up. So this means that it's through our mind, through our imagination, that we provide the condition for God to work, to create conditions and circumstances that would not otherwise occur spontaneously. See, we want God to operate spontaneously, but God cannot work and do things in your life spontaneously unless you provide the mental condition for that spontaneity to happen. That's the deal, all right? So it's, you know, it's imperative for us to understand that the invisible, listen carefully, this is what all of these different authors I'm reading, including one book I'm reading by Uspensky, is saying, that the invisible is seeking to become visible. God is seeking to come out into expression. But it cannot do that unless it has a willing instrument, a willing vehicle that will allow it to come through. Okay? And furthermore, the instrument that God works through must be able to say yes or no. In other words, God will not seek to manifest through something that doesn't have the ability to say yes or no. So that's us. Okay? The reason why you have to have the instrument God works with has the ability to say yes or no, because it's not a mechanical process. God wants you to work with God as God is doing, moving through you. So it has, you have to have the ability to say yes to God or no to God. And the only instrument I can think of is us, the human experience, all right? And furthermore, you know, it's a personal process. It must have the willingness to be an instrument of the divine force to occur. Now, if the instrument, meaning the person, says no, the divine activity seeking to become visible and create spontaneous miracles just moves on. I mean, no judgment, no nothing. It just moves on. Okay? And so it's interesting. So, there are so many things that go on in our mind that we want that are ready to manifest in our lives. Right? Remember, the Omega is already embedded in the Alpha. They're ready to come into our lives, but we're not saying yes. And you go, well, I didn't say no. You may not have said no in your thought, but your whole energy, your whole dynamic said, I'm not ready for this. Okay, so these things that are happening for my brother, which are massive, beyond my imagination, is because he is in a yes mentality. And it's just flowing through him, you know? But he didn't understand how it was happening. So, I was explaining it to him. That's why he said, well, send me those books so I can read. Because what he's saying is he understands well enough that if I don't understand why it's happening, I could inadvertently block it, you know? And so he wants to know how this process is happening, okay? So remember the maxim, nature unaided fails. But we can get ourselves to yes if we follow the St. Francis prayer, which says, Lord, make me an instrument, okay? Then the good that can occur in our lives will be beyond our imagination, okay? Pressed down and overflowing. So this coming week, when things seem to be out of sorts, just stop for a moment and ask yourself, am I where I am supposed to be in consciousness? In this moment, am I allowing myself to be lifted above whatever this is that's challenging me? And if your answer is no, then get still and pray the prayer, Lord, make me an instrument. Amen. Mm-hmm.